We've been studying the life of Christ. I think the last message, we came into the Easter season and the crucifixion and the resurrection. We celebrated the resurrection of our Lord on last Sunday, Easter Sunday, and we're going to go back to the study of Christ, what he did, what he said. But I want us to turn our attention to the 40 days following his resurrection, 40 days that Jesus was with his disciples, and it's often overlooked, that time period between his resurrection and his ascension back into heaven. But it's very significant, and it's got a lot to say, and it says some things specifically for us, even many years following the fact. So let's do this. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12, and then we'll pray, and then we're going to talk about the 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. Let's read Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 1. The author of this book is Luke. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And he identifies his first book, the book of Luke, in the very first verse. I'm going to read this. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. That's what we're going to return to in the weeks following this. What did Jesus do and what did he say? Because it has some real bearing on us, his followers. And it says this, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after his crucifixion, he appeared to the apostles from time to time. It's interesting, he wasn't with them the whole time. He would show up and be with them and then be gone. And he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. And then it says in verse 12, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile away, and they returned to begin their work. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts, because he's definitely got something for those followers of his in those 40 days, and he's got something to say to us as well through those experiences. Let's pray. Father, thank you for life. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for health and strength and presence of mind, the capacity, Lord, to understand and to know about you and to discern your purposes and just what our time here in this life is to be about. Please, Lord, help us. Help our faith. Help us, Lord, to believe. When our faith grows weak, we ask you to strengthen us to believe you and to trust you and, Lord, to look forward to you fulfilling all that you said you would do. Please speak to our hearts now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this 40 days, this period of time between his resurrection and his ascension, is going back to heaven. Luke gives attention to this. In fact, we're not going to turn to it, but in the Gospel of Luke, he ends up the Gospel account talking about the ascension, and then he begins it in the book of Acts, chapter 1. As we said, there's not a lot of attention paid to these 40 days. You don't hear a lot of sermons about it or a lot of messages about it, but that doesn't mean that there's not a lot going on there, and there is. In fact, it was a very important time for Jesus' followers. If you think about it, put yourself in their shoes, think about the lows and the highs. To watch Jesus being tried and flogged, whipped, and then to be nailed to a cross and to think it's all over. I mean, were we all fools for believing what he had to say? I mean, we saw with our own eyes things he was doing, and we understand there's something very different about him, but we just saw him die on the cross. And so when they saw him again, hope was revived, and they thought, maybe it's not over with yet. And so they'd been through some highs and some lows, but they still needed some strengthening in their concept of things. As you think about it, it makes sense. Jesus spending this time with those disciples. And we're going to take a look at a couple things that kind of rise to the surface in the conversations and in the movements that Jesus had with those disciples. It's a portion of what he had to say is recorded in all four of the Gospels and also in the book of Acts. But over the course of those 40 days, Jesus will appear and spend time with individuals such as Mary Magdalene, And the women who had gathered at the tomb. It's interesting, there's only one verse in the Gospels and one in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that says that Jesus appeared to Peter all by himself. And it doesn't say anything more than that. But don't you think Peter could have used that encouragement to know, hey, he's alive and he's not done with me yet? And later on, when Jesus would meet again, we're not going to look at it today. I wanted to spend some time and camp on that, because you remember the story about Jesus going and finding the guys fishing there? And Peter sees, he understands it's Jesus, gets out of the boat, and Jesus cooks him a meal. And he asks Peter, what does he ask Peter? Peter, do you what? Love me? And he says, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. And he asks him again, Peter, do you love me? And then he asks him the third time, and the Greek language is more descriptive than English. Basically, he said those first two times, agape, do you have an agape, a kind of love that is a godly kind of love? And then he asks him, Peter, do you even like me? It's a phileo is the Greek word. Are you fond of me, Peter? And Peter answers, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus said to him, well, take care of my sheep. Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep. You know, basically saying, Peter, you know what? I know you love me, and I'm not done with you. Here's some work. Let's get to it. But so we see that Jesus appears to Peter. Remember the two travelers on the road to Emmaus that Jesus walked and talked? It was a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they didn't know who it was till later on. Then we also know that Jesus, we're going to look at a couple of these passages, meets and gathers with the disciples who are hiding out from the authorities and shows himself to them and says, look, I'm alive. Look at my hands, look at my feet, look at my side. A week later, Thomas is meeting with the disciples and he meets up with them again. 7 of the disciples out there fishing on the Sea of Galilee. There's another incident of the 11 disciples who are on the mountain in Galilee. Jesus told them, hey, look, after all this is done, meet me in Galilee. That's where they were from. It was their home area. And there's a conversation that's recorded there. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul's writing said that Jesus appeared to a crowd of over 500 people. And he appealed to them specifically, said, many of these people are still alive now. As I write this, you can check and see if what I'm saying is true. And then to James, Jesus' half-brother, the Bible records that Jesus' half-brother didn't believe he was who he said he was. It was after the resurrection that he said, I know what's going on here now. And then those who watched Jesus ascend into heaven. So these 40 days, Jesus is showing up and meeting with his followers, some individuals and some as a group. And some, as I said earlier, some things keep showing up. One was this, that he gave evidence. He gave evidence that he was actually alive. We'll take a look at that. We read, let's go back to Acts chapter 1. We read in Acts chapter 1, this is going to be the verses we kind of really spend time with. Chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was instructing his followers more. He talked with them a lot in those 3 years of public ministry. Remember, as we've talked about, they would travel together. They would eat together. Jesus had a lot to say to them and to the people who would gather to hear what he had to say. But we also read this, that he appeared from time to time and proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. That's verse 3. He appeared to the apostles and proved to them in many ways that he was truly alive. Now, the disciples had been slow to believe. They had been told that Jesus said, I am going to be taken and I'm going to be arrested, turned over to the Romans, crucified, but I'm going to be alive again after 3 days. But they just had a hard time believing it. Now, don't be too hard on those guys, because we struggle with faith too, don't we, and belief. Even though God tells us plainly some things, I don't believe that. We want to believe, but this is what they struggle with. Let's take a look at two passages. One is Mark chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse 9 and read through verse 14. This was after Jesus was resurrected. This is the account. After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping and told them what had happened. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, what does it say? We don't believe that. Let's read on. Verse 12. Afterward, he appeared in a different form to 2 of his followers who were walking from Jerusalem into the country. They rushed back to tell the others, and what does it say? But no one believed them. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together, and he rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief, because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. Let's go to John chapter 20 now. John chapter 20, I want to read you here this passage. We're going to read verses 19. I don't think we'll read all of these through the end of the chapter, but I want to read you a few of these verses. John chapter 20, verse 19. That Sunday evening, that was after Jesus was raised from death, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And let's look, if you would, Eddie, if you'd go down to verse 26, same chapter. They were meeting a week later, and this time Thomas was with them, the one who said, I just don't believe what you're telling me there. And verse 26 says, 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. So Jesus gave his disciples ample evidence that he had conquered death. We're not going to turn to it, but in the Gospel of Luke, it says he even ate with him, and it said they watched him while he was eating. That must have been interesting. We're checking this out. So he ate with them. They had been slow to believe, but when they became convinced, they would return to Jerusalem and at great sacrifice and cost of their own lives give witness to Jesus. Now, just a few chapters from where we are, Acts chapter 1. I'm not going to turn to it, but if you want to take a look, Acts chapter 5, verses 28 through 33, it tells about those same disciples who were hiding behind locked doors for fear of being arrested and treated just like Jesus was treated, to where they stepped up, and it said that They gave witness to what they had seen. They told about what they had experienced. And it said that the council determined they were going to try to kill them as well. So Jesus gave evidence that he was actually alive. But not only that, he gave explanation. And let's take a look at this. We'll go back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Some interesting phrases here. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Look at the last phrase. It says this, "And he talked to them about the kingdom of God." Those conversations that Jesus was having, telling them about, look, this is what God wants to happen. This is why it happened this way. And a really neat passage. I'm going to ask Eddie if you turn to it. Turn to Luke 24. I want to read verses 44 and 45. This is an account here of Jesus meeting with the disciples. I'm going to read verses 44 and 45. "Then he said, 'When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" All of those messianic prophecies, all of those Old Testament prophets who were pointing to a coming day when God was going to send a deliverer. Jesus told them all of those things were speaking about this time that you're living in. Look at verse 45. "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." So Jesus gave them explanation. I want to ask you, you know, if you're gathered here today, your faith is in Jesus as your Savior. You might say, just like I say, you know, to folks, "I don't understand it all. 2.5 pounds of brain up here in this little cranium. Can't figure out all these mysteries. I'm glad I can understand some things." But, you know, I will tell you, when the pieces start falling together in the puzzle and you start seeing God does have a plan and God is working a purpose and moving in a direction in history, the light comes on. Has anybody ever had that happen? You think, you mean 600 years, 700 years before Jesus ever came, it tells about a suffering servant, Messiah, a deliverer? We're going to look at a passage in the book of Isaiah today. The first time I saw it, this was maybe 20-some years ago, it was like a big spotlight went off. I thought, wow, this is pretty amazing. So don't fall asleep because that's coming, all right? So Jesus explained to them the scriptures and filled them in on what it all meant. He would go on to say, we're back in Acts chapter 1, he would go on to say and reminded them about what he talked to them about the helper that would come. He would be leaving, but he was going to send a helper, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, and reminded them about this. Now, I'm not going to turn to it today, but if you want to look up some verses regarding this gift of the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, verse 26, John chapter 16, verses 8 and verse 13. These are passages that Jesus was telling his disciples, look, I am here for a time, I'll be leaving, but God is going to send the helper, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, and wait in Jerusalem till you are empowered to do this work that I've called you to. The conversation goes on, and this I find interesting. So he talked to them about the kingdom of God. He tells them in verse 4 and verse 5 about the Holy Spirit coming and empowering them. But look at verse 6. So the apostles are hearing this, and here's what they say. "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" And so they're saying, is this it? You know, they know now that Jesus conquered death. He's alive. He was dead. They knew about it. They saw it. So they're thinking, this is the time. We thought it was a little bit earlier, but evidently it wasn't. So Lord, is the time here? Is this it? Is now the time? You know, the disciples, they just had a hard time letting that go, didn't they? But you know what? It was in their DNA. They were looking for Messiah. They were looking for that conqueror to come. And so they kept asking, is this the time? And it's evident that they had a hard time letting it go, looking for this conqueror to deliver them, reestablish the glory of Israel that it had once been. And, you know, we get a little insight into that because they're thinking, if we're in on this and Jesus is now going to restore the kingdom, we're in a very good spot. And I want to take you to a passage. We've looked at it before. I think it's very telling. Matthew chapter 20. Read verses 17 through 21. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside privately and told them what was going to happen to him. This was before he was to be arrested and crucified. He tells them plainly. As we read these verses, I think you'll see it doesn't get any plainer than this. He said, listen, we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priest and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die. Then they will hand him over to the Romans to be mocked, flogged with a whip, and crucified. But on the third day, he will be raised from the dead. So Jesus tells them this, and what do they come up with? Verse 20, then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. Jesus says, what is your request? And she says, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right hand and the other on your left. So when these disciples, Jesus had been resurrected, he's meeting with them. He tells them, look, this is what the kingdom of God's all about. In the days ahead, you're going to be empowered to tell your world about me. And so what do they ask? Jesus, the kingdom being restored, is this when it's going to happen right now? Look at verse 7. Here's what Jesus says to them. The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. Jesus tells them, that's really none of your business, guys. Sorry about that. You know, I hear a lot of folks who are trying to line up when the Lord's going to wrap things up. And you know what I hear Jesus saying? Leave that to God. If you're curious about the future, leave it to God. And it's interesting that as soon as Jesus finishes that statement, leave it to God, here says, look at verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be what? My witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus says, look, leave the timing of end time events, leave that with God, and turn your attention to the work that's before you. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to be a part of your life, and you're going to tell people about me everywhere, extending outward from your home base. The home base right then was Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then even to people that you try to avoid. That happens to be Samaria. You know something, friends? God loves them too. The people at your work and in your neighborhood that they're not your best friends, you just try to avoid them. You know something? God loves them too. Seems to be that's what he's saying here. And then Jesus said this, not only in Samaria to people that you don't particularly like, but to the ends of the earth, people you don't even know. God loves them too. So in those 40 days following his resurrection, Jesus prepared his followers to continue his work. He said, you'll be my witnesses. Look, you're worried about when God's going to wrap all this up, restore the kingdom? Leave that to God. Right now, you got some important work to do. And during those 40 days, Jesus gave his followers evidence that he was alive. He gave them explanation of the kingdom of God, helping them to fill in some of the finer points and understand a little bit more. Remember, they're going to go out, and they're going to represent him. The fact that they went out, and the fact that you and I make reference to this a lot here from this pulpit, but it's something that is so obvious, but it's often overlooked. When those guys went out to be Jesus' witnesses, they told somebody. And the person they told somebody else. And the person they told somebody else. Now, this could go on a long time, couldn't it? But you know what? You're sitting here today listening about Jesus who died in our place to be the payment for our sins. And that's what it was all about. And so he gave them employment. He employed them in his work. And if you realize, many of the conversations were about extending the kingdom. We're going to look at a couple of them today and not going to spend a lot of time. But we need to see the basis of evangelism, of why we are to be a witness of what Jesus has done. So let's go now, first of all, to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to look at verses 16 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Jesus is with the disciples there on the mountain in Galilee. This is after his resurrection. And let's read these verses. I'm going to start in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Go and make disciples of all nations. And Jesus said, "I'm with you even to the end of the age." Now, the end of the age, evidently that's when God wraps things up. That's the time and date we don't know about. But he tells his followers to continue extending the kingdom of God, being witnesses to what Jesus has done until when? Till God wraps things up. Mark chapter 16 and verse 8. Let's take a look in the Gospel of Mark. Another account of Jesus meeting with his disciples. And here's what he tells them. Mark chapter 16 and verse 8. It gives this account. The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. Then they briefly reported all this to Peter and his companions. Afterward, Jesus himself sent them out from east to west with the sacred and unfailing message of salvation that gives eternal life. Now, that's a Cliff's Notes of what happened. The report comes back. He's alive. And later on, Jesus meets with them and gathers those disciples, and he says, "You're to go out." Let's go now to Luke chapter 24. We've already been at this passage, but want to look at it once again. Luke chapter 24 and verses 46 through 48. Jesus is meeting there with the disciples, another one of the times he gathered, and I'm going to read here. He said this, "It is written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day." So he said, he's pointing them. He said, "Look, you know from the passages that Messiah is going to suffer and die and be raised again." He said, "You know that." But look what he says also in verse 47. "It is also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem." Let's read on. "There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent." And he says, "You are witnesses of all these things." So Jesus tells them, look, this is what God had planned for it to go out. And God has promised to give you what you need to do this. This is not going to be accomplished in your own strength. The Apostle Paul was recounting his ministry. We're not going to turn there. But he was talking about bringing this message to people. And he makes this statement. Who is adequate for things like this? He said, certainly it's not in ourselves. God has to really fill us and use us for this to get done. But the very fact that this work was done points to the fact that God showed up and changed those timid, cowering followers of Jesus into a group that went out and turned the world upside down. Let's go now to John chapter 20. I want to take a look here at this passage again. We've been here as well. John chapter 20, The disciples were in hiding there. Jesus shows up and meets with them. Thomas is not there at this point. But look at John chapter 20 and verse 21. Jesus gathers with them. He says, "Peace be with you." And here's what he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." He tells those disciples, "I'm sending you out to tell about me." Now, there are those who say, well, these instructions were given to the disciples, the apostles only, and we're not told to be witnesses. But friends, I think there are two passages we've looked at today that point to an ongoing work of God. When Jesus said that this message is to go out to the ends of what? The earth, the end of the world. And also to the end of the age when God wraps things up. So it seems apparent that this work is to be extended and extended and extended until God says that's it. The main point of these conversations seems to be this, and here's the message today, that this message of God's love and forgiveness needs to go out to people to generously share with them what God has done. I like what somebody said years ago, and I remember hearing it. You know what being a witness for Jesus is? It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You know, sometimes we are stymied and shut down because we think, I don't have all the answers to all the questions people have. You're not obligated to have all the answers. It does say in the epistles, you know, to be ready to give an answer to people who ask you, why do you have hope in the face of the realities of this world? It said, be ready to have an answer for them. But friends, we're not obligated to have an answer to every question people ask. We are told to be witnesses. Do you know what a witness does? A witness says, this is what I know. This is what I observe. Can you tell somebody, hey, I don't know everything there is to know about the kingdom of God and the work of God and all the marvelous things that have gone to make it happen, but I can tell you this, I know I'm a sinner. I know I failed God, but I also know that he has offered forgiveness to me because it says so in his word, and I'm trusting in that. And outside of that, there's not much hope for us. You know, it's interesting that these conversations that Jesus had in those 40 days with his followers did not include methodology. It didn't include church structure and church government. Paul would deal with some of that stuff later on, but I'm thankful that he leaves enough room for people to do it different ways. And he doesn't talk about order of service and what kind of music you got to have and building type, but instead it's a proclamation of who Jesus was, why he came, and what he can do for us. And that's good to know. And this as well, the Holy Spirit did show up in the next chapter of the book of Acts. It recounts that those followers of Jesus went back to Jerusalem and waited for another 10 days on Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, 50 days after Jesus was resurrected, the Spirit of God came on those believers and all kinds of stuff began happening. People were hearing these claims and putting their faith in Christ. So the Holy Spirit was given to empower them to tell about Jesus, not that they might live holier-than-thou lives among other people, and not that they might brag about that experience on the day of Pentecost, but the reason for that is that they might be powerful witnesses, living epistles, living letters read by men and women, creating a hunger and thirst in the lives of people for Jesus. Here's the big question for us today. How faithful are we in our witness by our life and by our words to the gospel of the risen Christ? Is this message buried from those who need to know about it? And it's important just that for us to consider, what does my life say to people? How I go about living my life, the words that I speak, are they pointing to what has been done for me? Are they witnessing and testifying and saying, Jesus died in my place and rose, offering life? And here's a question to follow up that for each one. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm asking myself that question as I was studying and working on the notes for this and this message. And it's a question worth asking. Am I actively extending the kingdom of God? Am I a part of extending this message that is intended to go out? You in your life, me in my life, we were waiting for somebody to extend the message to us. And somebody did. I don't know how it was done. You might have heard something about Jesus on the radio, or maybe you went to a Sunday school class and were pulled along as a child. Maybe as an adult, I will tell you, I prayed with a young man just yesterday. The wheels are absolutely falling off in his life at a point where life should look so hopeful, just despondent. And I was so glad to tell him there is hope for your life and what God wants to do. And you can have peace. He said that was the very thing. He just lacked any kind of peace in his life. And it's interesting that as I was thinking about this, extending the kingdom of God, extending this message that we are to live out and to speak forth as we go about living our lives, I showed up here yesterday, and there was this young guy, and we were able to say, look, here's some real hope. Not in this building. It's not in a church structure. It's in what Jesus has done for you and the fact that God loves you that much. That's a great message to bring to people. I want to just ask each of us, and look, it doesn't have to all be the same way. Nobody's standing here telling you today that you got to look a certain way and give this message in a certain way. You do it as God gifts and empowers you. But it should certainly be a part of our thinking as we go through our lives. Hey, am I extending the same thing that I received? This message of forgiveness of sin, of eternal life, the claims of Christ. Friends, let's get down to brass tacks. Either Jesus rose from the grave or he didn't. If he didn't, we're wasting our time. This is an absolute charade. But if he did, as we said last week, it's the most important fact in our existence because it means eternal life can be had. Forgiveness of sins can be had. Now, just as you and I were waiting for somebody to extend it to us, somebody in your world is counting on you and I to extend it to them. And this is the point of the message. This keeps showing up in Jesus' conversation over these 40 days. And so it's a reminder to us as we go about living our lives, don't forget, people need to see it and need to hear it. I like what somebody said, share a life worth living and live a life worth sharing. Let's stand. We're going to close in prayer. And so today, there's something about this 40 days following the resurrection that we know about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for understanding and being able to see what you did with those early followers of yours. And thankfully, Lord, as imperfectly as they did it, they went out empowered by you. Certainly not of their own strength. That task was just too big for them. And it's actually too big for us in our own strength. Lord, please help us to look to you. Lord, to be a witness by our words and by our actions of what you've done in our lives. And please help us with this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.